Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the 32nd Sunday of the year. The Holy Souls in Purgatory.
I was in Brittany over the summer looking at those tremendous parish closes that can be found there with their amazing cemeteries set up for visitation, for processions and devotions. The secular guidebook I was reading said that the people of those times who constructed the cemeteries used to have a morbid fascination with death. But I thought, hold on a minute, they're just being realistic. When we compare the short years of our lives in this world with eternity, it isn't surprising that realistic people focus quite a bit on the next stage. And it's not actually a fascination with death per se, but rather with the soul, with ongoing life, and with final resurrection. For to him all men are in fact alive, our Lord teaches in the Gospel today. He speaks of the ongoing life of man after the death of the body, but also asserts the parallel truth of the resurrection of the body, as he will rise again, forever, body and soul, so we too will be preserved in our unity as a creature of body and soul. But the interesting point in this reading, especially for us in November when we're speaking of the Holy Souls, is to think of his words about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and ask, where are they? They are not in heaven. Until his own death and resurrection, there is no such place. They are not in glory, nor are they amongst the damned, that's quite clear. In the years just prior to our Lord's coming, there was a doctrine amongst the majority of Jews, which included the Pharisees, but not the Sadducees, that the souls of the righteous, who die in friendship with God, were somehow gathered into what was called the bosom of Abraham, to await their freedom brought by the Messiah. This limbo of the fathers was not hell, and it wasn't glory, but rather a kind of passage towards the future. It's not surprising that in the second book of Maccabees, one of the last works to be written in the Old Testament, there is a clear belief in the resurrection of the body. At the end of time, we see that in those martyrs who lay down their lives in hope, but also that in the meantime, we can offer prayers and sacrifices for them. And this is still our belief as Catholics today. Although we now accept that many of the souls of the righteous can experience glory as they await the final resurrection. We don't pray for the damned, and we don't pray for the saints in heaven. In fact, the former don't need our prayers, and the latter pray for us. What we're called to do in following Scripture is to pray for those souls awaiting heaven, being prepared for heaven, and this teaching is what we call purgatory. We pray in this month for the holy souls, or the poor souls in purgatory. They're called holy because even though they're not yet in heaven, they are guaranteed salvation. They died with the only one thing that really matters, grace, being in a state of God's friendship. But they need our prayers because they are poor souls. They are in a state of uncomfortable preparation. I'm certainly in the Purgatory fan club, and I think every Catholic should be. We're told that nothing tainted can enter heaven, and if it weren't for purgatory, most of us and the vast majority of mankind would surely be lost. Only the most perfect saints would enter heaven. And yet the Lord in his mercy has given us, those who die in friendship with him, the possibility of purification, of perfecting after death. And this is good news. It's God's gift to save his imperfect friends. Purgatory, as the name suggests, is a kind of purgation. It is a painful process. It's a patient agony, before love's cleansing fires. However, it is an immensely positive affair. It is amazing that the Lord can bring us to perfection even after we die, that the Lord will bring us to our final state. Now, it is certain that the Lord could do this completely and instantaneously without any reference to anyone or anything else, but he chooses to work temporally in stages and through us. It's the same in life here. God has knit us together as his mystical body, the mystical body of Christ, and he brings about our salvation through one another, through the works, prayer, sacrifices of the church. And it is the same for the souls in purgatory. They are aided by us as instruments. They are helped by us in the providence of God. And it's comforting that we're not completely separated from our loved ones once they pass through the veil of death. We can still relate to them. We can still have a hand in their journey. God in his providence wants us to look after one another, not just in this world, but forever. So the saints pray for us and help us, and we can help the holy souls. The church extends, of course, from earth to heaven and includes purgatory. The most powerful thing we can do for the holy souls is to offer Mass for them. In the Mass, heaven and earth are united, and the sacrifice which saves us is made really present. This power of offering can be applied in a special way in time, in our churches, for our dearly beloved dead. In many churches, there's a special box or book or basket with the names of the faithful departed placed in it before the altar in recognition of this fact. My patron saint, one of them, is St. Nicholas of Tolentino. He's the patron saint of the holy souls in purgatory because he devoted so much time and prayer to them. Many would gather about his masses because they knew his holiness, and they often had visions of the holy souls being freed and brought to heaven towards the resurrection whilst he was offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In this Mass today, in our Masses that we celebrate, let's think of our beloved dead, our families, our friends, those who've worshipped in our churches down through the generations. Let's think of them being drawn through the power of Christ's sacrifice, through our prayers, into the glory of the risen life which is promised.
I freed your shoulder from the burden. Your hands were freed from the load. You called in distress, and I saved you.